The scripture reading is from Psalm 112 in the New Revised Standard Version. You may follow along in your own Bible, Bible app, or on page 490 through 491 in the Pew Bible. Praise the Lord! Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. The descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed with wealth and riches in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and then who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. In the end, their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes who have distributed freely and have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of wicked comes to nothing. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
What are you afraid of? That's what I'd like to start our conversation this morning about. What is in the scriptures? What is God's message for us? What are you afraid of? I'd like to put up on the screen a few pictures of things that I'd like to know if you are personally afraid of them. So if you are, when I put it up there, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand really high so I can see who all is afraid. So the first picture I want to put up is a snake. How many of you are afraid of snakes? Okay, a couple hands way high in the air. That's good. That's good. How many of you are not afraid of snakes? All right, I'm going to bring some next Sunday, and we're going to pass them out in church, liven things up a little bit. Would you be afraid if they were poisonous snakes? Yeah, I watch those shows where the guys are handling a snake, and all of a sudden they'll turn and bite them. I'm like, you idiot. Put it down. Don't like snakes. How about public speaking? How many of you are afraid of public speaking? How many is not afraid of public speaking? Okay, all of you, keep your hands high, because I'm going to write these down, honey, because these are future speakers here on Sunday morning, future scripture readers, and you can fill in for me when I need to take a Sunday off. Some people are terrified of speaking in public. I'm always tickled when they're lists are produced from time to time of the things most Americans are afraid of, and the fear of public speaking is always higher than the fear of death. I'm like, come on. I mean, you're talking about just getting in front of a crowd versus dying. Come on. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but some people are very, very afraid of public speaking. Now, what about God? How many of you think about God, that you're afraid of God? Okay, a few hands, a few sheepish hands. How many of you are not afraid of God? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, the reason I ask that is I think if you and I were to walk around up and down the street of Edwardsville, if it was a nice day and there was a lot of traffic, and if we could ask people there, what are you afraid of? And we were going to write down their answers. We might write down snakes, spiders, public speaking, you know, fire, whatever. But my guess is most people that you bump into are not going to say, what really makes me afraid is God. And, you know, you wonder, where do people come to that understanding? Because if you are a student of the Bible, if you read through the scriptures at all, you see that it is a good thing to be afraid of God. It is to our benefit to be afraid of the Lord. And today in Psalm 112, we're going to see very clearly how the psalmist lays out the benefits that are ours when we fear God. Now, Psalm 112 does not tell us who its author is. We can't know for certain. But as it sits in the middle of 150 Psalms, and as it sits in the middle of the Old Testament, we see that this psalm fits perfectly within the beliefs and the values of the Israelite community of the Old Testament. That this concept of fearing the Lord doesn't just appear here in Psalm 112, but it is sprinkled all throughout the writing of the Old Testament, and even in the words of Jesus. So what does this psalm actually tell us about the fear of God? That's what I would like to explore with you this morning. I'm going to put some scriptures up on the screen from our text and a few other places to help elaborate this. And I'm going to also read from Psalm 112 itself. So if you have your own Bible, you have the Bible on your phone, you want to grab the Pew Bible in front of you. We're going to be on page 490 and 491. I just want you to hear God's word about the benefits of those who fear the Lord. So we're going to start with the opening verse and the opening idea contained within the psalm. And that is this idea: the fear of God is shown through obedience. The psalmist writes, and I have the verse up on the screen for you, "Praise the Lord." That's the Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. "Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments." Subtly, right there, our psalmist is linking together delighting in the commandments of God and fearing the Lord. It is together. Fear of God is related to accepting and obeying his commandments. That's the right way to handle God. The fear of God is demonstrated by a willingness to hear God's commandments and not to begrudge them, but to delight in them and to say, these are good, these are life, these are God's word to guide my way. You can't reap the benefits of God without the fear of God. Just like I was telling the little kids there, you can't get the benefits of the honey from the honeycomb, from the beehive, unless you're willing to put on the safe gear to get in close enough to reap the benefits, because bees are dangerous. They're going to sting you for trying to crack open their hive and take their food. You risk great personal harm when you get too close to the beehive. And people who work with the bees, who gather the honey, who put them in the store for us to consume, they understand that. And so they cover themselves with things to protect them from the bees. In the same way, people who interact with God know that there is risk and harm from God if you don't relate to God properly. If you want God's benefits in your life, there is risk if you are not prepared to be in the presence of God. Now, this preparation is provided for us through the death of Jesus Christ, his son. We can come to God because of the Lord. But this idea that God is dangerous is all throughout the scriptures. And this was recently driven home to me last week. I'm reading through the Bible on a yearly Bible reading plan on my phone. And I'm now in the book of Leviticus. And so you know some context, Moses, with God's direction and help, led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the wilderness. And as they're wandering there, God gives them very specific commands about building a special sacred tent where God is going to be inside the tent. And not everybody can go in, but only a few select people can bridge the gap between God and the people. This tent is called a tabernacle. And so Moses' brother Aaron and his family are given the privilege of being the priest, of approaching God in the tabernacle. And so there's this 7-day period where they have to every day offer blood sacrifices to consecrate this special place as holy, to get it ready for God, to consecrate Aaron and his family, because God is holy and righteous. And then when God shows up in his glory, two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, decide to do something in the presence of God that they weren't commanded to do, and they die right there before God. See, when God is disobeyed, there's destruction. Now, you might think, well, that's awfully harsh. Why would God be like that? But, you know, I could say the same thing about electricity. Electricity is a wonderful thing. We benefit from it now. It gives us words on the screen, lights over our head. It helps us circulate air in here when we're hot or cold. We use electricity all the time. But, you know, when people from Ameren get up on their equipment to work on those power lines where thousands and thousands of volts of potential are there, they use extreme caution because they know that no matter how great electricity is, there's a side to it that's quite dangerous. And the Bible lays out that's exactly the way it is with God. But there's great blessing and benefit from God as well. So when we approach God in the right way, when we enter into this fearful, respectful relationship with God, we will reap rewards from that. And this is indicated, this is clarified for us by Moses himself in the book of Deuteronomy. So Moses has been leading the Israelites in the wilderness, traveling around for years and years. He's at the very end. They're ready to go into the promised land. And Moses is giving a speech to them about how they need to live for God. And up on the screen is Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13. Notice the words of instruction. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." Notice the last phrase, "for your good." Moses is telling everybody, fear God, love God, obey God, follow God's rules, and you will be benefited from it. It'll be for your good to do that very thing. Have you ever thought about that, church? Have you ever looked at the scriptures, at the rules of God, and gone, man, God is such a cosmic killjoy. He takes away all the fun. Or do you see those rules and say, God is protecting me. God is wanting me to walk in obedience because it's to my best interest. A good way to think about that is to think about man-made laws, the rules. Like we put a speed limit sign out on the interstate, 65 miles an hour. You may be the only person out there, and you might want to go 90 because you don't feel like wasting your time. But you know that speed limit is there for your safety. Because the faster you go, the less time you have to react. The deer runs out in front of you, you have less time to respond to it, or you jerk the wheel, and at 90 miles an hour, you're going 200 feet into the air, tearing your car to pieces. See, the law is there to protect you. And so when you drive through town, the speed limit is there to protect you from unsafe drivers and to protect other people from you being an unsafe driver. In the same way, God's word, God's laws are given for our benefit. And so the psalmist rightly said, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who delight in God's commandments, because when you hear God's law, when you delight in them, when you begin to obey them, you will benefit from it. And the psalmist is wanting us to see what those benefits are. So that's the first, the next thing about Psalm 112, that fear of God brings benefit to us. And that's really what verses 2 to 9 are all about. And we're going to go through these a little bit more in depth to see what are those specific benefits. But if you obey God, if you live a life where you're seeking to walk in obedience with God's word, there are benefits to you and others around you. What are they? The first one is a multi-generational impact. It says in verse 2, their descendants, that those who fear the Lord, their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. There is a sense where when you fear God, your offspring will benefit from your obedience. Your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, not even to be born yet. You live faithfully before God, and that trickles down a benefit to your offspring. Now, that makes sense to me because when you live fearfully of God, you're living properly under God's authority. And then when your kids are living under your authority, they're seeing in your behavior what obedience and humility looks like. They're going to develop those qualities in themselves. But if mom or dad, if you're not living in obedience to God, your kids look at you demanding their obedience, and they're going to see a hypocrite. And you're going to encourage in them that you don't really have to respect authority. And they will pay the penalty for your disobedience. So the first thing we want to do is we want to fear the Lord so that it benefits our descendants. The psalmist goes on to say that when we fear the Lord, there's other benefits. There's financial stability and generosity. And this is found in verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9. Notice 10 verses here. Three of them make reference to money. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Verse 9 says, it is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. In verse 9, they have distributed freely, they have given to the poor, their righteousness endures forever, their horn is exalted in honor. We're talking here about having and also sharing and blessing others because you're in a good place financially. Now, this does not mean God's going to grant you a Mercedes-Benz or God's going to give you a private Learjet. That's not the way God works. But when you orient your life around biblical principles, God will protect your heart from greed and envy. You will develop contentment as you learn to give properly because you realize everything comes from God. And then over time, you will accumulate because you're learning contentment and you don't need the biggest and the best and the brightest. You're happy with what you have. And then you're in a place that you can accumulate for yourself and then you can help other people who have need. That all comes from the fear of the Lord. Another benefit laid out in verse 4 is a benefit of a positive example. I love this verse. This is so powerful. They, that is those who fear the Lord, rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They're gracious, merciful, and righteous. You become a positive example for people. When there's darkness, you're the light source. You're the one that people look to for guidance and direction. When problems come, you're the one that people will follow because you're living before the Lord faithfully. When I think about this positive example, I'm drawn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel was about 13 years old when he was captured by the Babylonians, taken away into imprisonment. He was castrated as a eunuch, 13. But if you read the book of Daniel, you are impressed with a man who is wise beyond his years. This is a man who fears God, who is faithful to God, and God uses him and several of his cohorts there in Babylon in great ways to bring glory and honor to himself because they feared the Lord. You can be a positive example. It doesn't matter your circumstances. You can be a positive example when you walk in fear of the Lord and in obedience to the Lord. Another benefit is the benefit of stability. Verse 6 says, for the righteous will never be moved, they will be remembered forever. There's a sense where you are stable, you are settled, that while things may change all around you, you're going to be the same person because you're anchored into the same God. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. This is important because we live in a world where things are always changing. Our values and our beliefs are flying out the window. Our country doesn't know what's right and wrong anymore. Everything is okay in the eyes of the masses, but it's men and women, young and old, who fear the Lord, who become a stable source of guidance for the people of God. Another benefit of those who fear the Lord, those who obey God, is courage. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8 says, they are not afraid of evil things. Their hearts are firm. secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. It doesn't say you don't have foes when you walk with God, when you are faithful to God and obedient to God. But God gives you the spine to stand up, even if you're the only one, and not be manipulated by the fear of what's going on around you. Courage is a great virtue. And it flows into the heart of men and women who are living fearful and reverently before God, who are obeying God's commands. God produces in you a moral fortitude that is rare and precious indeed. A good biblical example of this comes to my mind, and it has to do with a great and famous story of David and Goliath. Most of you know the story pretty well, but if you've never heard it before, let me tell you. So in the Bible, the Israelites as a nation were going to war against their enemy, the Philistines. The Philistine army were on one side of a hill, and you went down to the valley, and up on the other side were the army of the Israelites. And there was a young man, a young teenager named David, who was sent from his father to the front to deliver food and good items to David's brothers and to their commander in the field. So David makes the journey, and while he's there, something happens that has been happening every day. One of the Philistines, a giant by the name of Goliath, would walk down into the valley and then shout up at the Israelites on the other side, taunting and mocking their gods. And this Goliath would call out and say, send down one man to fight me one-on-one. And when we fight, whoever wins, that person has declared the victor and the other nation has to surrender. And for day after day, everyone there at the battlefield, including the king, were afraid and hid when Goliath walked down the valley. But when David heard those words, he was angry. And he said, how dare that man mock our God? I'm going to go deal with it. And even though his brothers try to talk him out of it, even though the king tries to talk him out of it, eventually David strolls down into the valley, stands his ground against Goliath, and kills him because he had courage. And he had courage because he feared God. And he was more worried about God than he was worried about Goliath. And God blessed him with victory. So, as you can see, Psalm 112, there is great benefit in being a people who fear God. It has a multi-generational impact in your life and in the life of your family and the life of your community and nation. And so I want to challenge you to be a people who fear God, who are committed to train others, whether it's our little ones in our midst or visitors in our congregation, what it means to fear and obey the Lord. So I started off this message this morning asking the question, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the Lord? You should be. Do you really fear the Lord? Wisdom starts by answering yes. Well, if the answer is yes, what do? We commit ourselves as people of faith to know God's commands, to delight in God's commands, and to obey God's commands in every part of our life. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to invite you to do. So I ask you, will you join me in fearing the Lord? May the Lord God help us to be faithful as we seek to walk in reverent fear of Him. Amen.